It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I got to tell you, Stoke, I'm a little bit, I'm not surprised, but I'm still hearing the conversation here, even on this station, that the Broncos should have selected a quarterback in the draft instead of Bradley Chubb. And I hear it from even someone that we both respect, like Alfred Williams. Check this out.
I'm telling you now, I'm having buyer's remorse with no question about it.
And
I'm
it's not against Bradley. It's not
remorse.
Against Bradley Chubb.
It has nothing to do with
Chubb.
Nothing to do with Chubb. Now, if we find our quarterback in Case Keenum for the next, This needs to be right for 10 years. Rosen's going to play.
10's tough, but 7's reasonable. 2 years and then a 5.
Rosen's going to play 15 years.
That's right.
This has got to work with Case Keenum, man, for like 10 years.
Oh, that's a little unfair. But 7 years. 7 years is a more fair situation.
Okay, call it 7 years.
Yes.
We have to yield a Super Bowl
out
of Case Keenum for this to work.
Wait, what? I'm confused.
What part was confusing?
I don't. I mean, all of a sudden,
or what part was
that,
the most confusing?
Josh Rosen's going to play for 15 years all of a sudden and be this guy. I mean, how do we know that already? I mean, but if you want Josh Rosen, okay, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. But come out and say it. I mean, he said it. So he's putting his name on Josh Rosen. I was happy with the way that the Broncos handled the draft, especially after the top two quarterbacks that I really wanted were gone.
Baker, Darnold.
Yes. Let's just stay the course with Case Keenum. You wanted to draft Josh Rosen at 5? Okay. We'll see how it plays out. You know, that means no Bradley Chubb. So if Bradley Chubb is, you know, Von Miller part two and Josh Rosen's just an average quarterback, then Broncos made a great choice. We'll see how it plays out. It's hard to say right now, but I'm sitting here right now and I like the choice. I wanted offense, but Bradley Chubb, I'm fine with it. I don't want you to take a quarterback just to take a quarterback. Okay? Apparently, they didn't think very high of those two quarterbacks that were there, that were sitting there, and you're talking about Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. So, I look at the situation, and I'm fine the way it played out. I mean, I've heard talk about different guys, and we'll see. We'll see how Josh Rosen plays out. I mean, you could have traded back and still got Josh Rosen. So, if one of those two quarterbacks do turn out to be really good players, yeah, it was a bad, bad selection.
What about the idea that this isn't about, this is not about watching Bradley Chubb's career and weighing it up against Josh Rosen or Josh Allen's career, but this is about Case Keenum being measured up to Josh Rosen and Josh Allen, because you passed on those guys because Keenum, you had already signed Keenum up before the draft.
I don't care that you signed him up. If you loved a quarterback in this draft, you go get him. Plain and simple. So, look, that tells me they didn't love Josh Rosen or Josh Allen. You only signed Case Keenum for 2 years. And if you loved one of those guys, you left yourself options to go get one of those guys. So that tells me they didn't love any of those guys that much. They believe in Case Keenum, and they also love Bradley Chubb, a little bit of everything.
If Sam Darnold was there at 5, would they have picked Sam Darnold?
Yes. That's my thought. I believe Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, either one of those guys were there at 5, I think they would have taken either one of them.
Despite the Case Keenum signing?
Yes, I do.
And that's what Case Keenum gave them, in your mind, the luxury to select or not select the quarterback.
And maybe it's just one of those guys. Maybe it was just Baker. Maybe it was just Baker. Maybe it was just Sam. I believe
that's the one that I think it was.
Which one?
It was just Sam. If Sam's there, that's the route we go. If anyone else, then we go in a different direction. That's what I think John thought.
Yeah, you're always looking to try to, if you view a guy as one of those premier players and at the quarterback position, and you have an opportunity to take that guy, and you just went 5-11, even though you might love Case Keenum, you're like, okay, I want that next, you know, Peyton Manning or that next Tom Brady, that next Aaron Rodgers, and that guy's sitting there, you take him. Regardless of what you just said about Case Keenum or how you feel about Case Keenum.
Well, that's what Alfred, and it sounded like D-Mac, was sort of going along with, that Josh Rosen is going to be this 15-year NFL starter. And boy, if you are going to justify not taking that guy, then Case Keenum has to be here for 7 to 10 years. And Alford went as far as to say, you need to win a Super Bowl with Case because you didn't select those guys. Is he taking it too far?
I think so. We'll see how Josh Rosen's career plays out. I mean, that's what it really comes down to me, is if Josh Rosen ends up being a great quarterback, then, yeah, you probably missed out. But if he doesn't, then you made the right choice. And it doesn't really depend on Case Keenum. Look, Case Keenum's Case Keenum, right? I mean, you had to try to find a quarterback. And so you look at Josh Rosen, and let's see how his career plays out. And only time will tell. I am happy with how things played out, especially whenever my guys that weren't available, that I wanted weren't available, then you know what? I wasn't happy about it because I wanted one of my three guys. They weren't available. So I didn't want to take Josh Allen or Josh Rosen at five.
And your three guys were Baker, Darnold, and
Saquon. And all three of those guys, of course, were gone.
Yep.
And it is what it is. So I was, you know, for me, that's why I was disappointed. Now, I like the selection of Bradley Chubb now.
Would you have changed anything? Would you have changed anything about the first round after those guys went? After Baker goes one, Barkley goes two, Darnold goes three, and what the hell is
Denzel
that?
Ward.
Denzel Ward
goes four.
Once that's been established, right, would you change anything about the first round? The options are taking one of the quarterbacks, right, doing the trade with Buffalo, getting multiple first-round picks.
Or that might have been high on my list to move back and trade. I haven't done the evaluation process of Bradley Chubb that these teams have done and that John Elway and company have done. Apparently, you know, they think he's that next great pass rusher. So if that's the case, I'm happy with how it played out. But at the time, I prefer to move back and get a couple players. But at the same time, you went 5-11. And if you think Bradley Chubb is that difference maker, then I'm okay with it. And hopefully it works out that way.
How long do you think it's legitimately going to take for us to know whether the Broncos made the right decision? 5 years? 7 years? 10 years? 2 years?
About Bradley Chubb or about the quarterbacks that they passed on?
Because
it's different. I mean, Bradley Chubb, you should see pretty quickly. You know, does he have that potential? Now, he'll make some mistakes. He's a rookie, but you gave the stats, Zach. How many young pass rushers come in the league and get double-digit sacks their rookie season? It happens all the time.
All the time. 32 out of the last 33 years.
You should see something from him early on.
After 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we knew after 2 years with Von Miller.
Sure. Wait, what is his first year, like 14 sacks? Von Miller's rookie season? Something like that?
That many?
It was something right there.
Yeah, I thought it was right around 10.
12 and a half, maybe?
I thought it was right around 10. That was this year.
First year, 11 and a half sacks.
11 and a half. Okay. But you should see something this year. Quarterback-wise, now you got to wait a little bit on Josh Rosen. I'm not going to say he's a bust. I'm not going to say he's a success until after 2 to 3 years.
So we heard the morning show, or we heard the drive sort of kind of building in these things that, you know, you better do this and you better do that. The morning show is
the khaki pantsers.
The khaki pantsers. Not too much different when it comes to our starting quarterback. And I got to call out one of our hosts in particular.
Yes, I love it.
It's next. So I just got it. I got to talk about this because I'm a little bit confused and I just need a little bit of help. Feel free to chime in and contribute some wisdom for me on the RamosLaw.com text line 303-713-1043. Driving down the road, and when we go to break, we oftentimes have a little promotional audio running from another show that's not currently on, give you a little splice of audio on opinion on a guy. And I'm listening, I'm going, I just don't know what to think about this following promotion.
If you had to bet that Case Keenum is a stock and you're looking for future returns,
right?
Are you buying Case Keenum or are you staying away?
I would buy.
Okay.
You?
No. I wouldn't.
What has he ever bought when it comes to the quarterbacks?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. With Mike Evans specifically. And Lord knows we love Mike.
No.
I love listening to the morning show. I listen every single day of the week. But I don't understand what Mike wanted. So when the Kirk Cousins thing came, he was completely against it. Was not on the
Kirk Cousins
train. No.
All right.
And then the draft came, and he didn't want any of the quarterbacks in the first round. Didn't want any of them.
Don't touch any of them. Okay.
Until late in the draft.
Oh, let's just go. Okay.
Because you can get Kyle LaLetta. Lord knows we love Kyle LaLetta.
Yeah.
I was the first guy that was banging the table with Kyle LaLetta. I called his college games, and he was at Richmond.
That's right.
Yep. He's got your agent, Rick Smith.
Yeah.
We
Let's
had
go get
him
Kyle LaLetta. Yeah,
we interviewed him at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Love Kyle LaLetta, right?
That's who we want. That's who we wanted, huh?
And now you hear him say, so he didn't want a first-round quarterback. He didn't want the top-tier free agent in the market. And here we got Case Keenum coming off a 12-win season, one of the best quarterbacks in pro football last year. He's now the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And he's saying that he doesn't want him either. So no Kirk Cousins, no top flight free agent, no first round quarterback, and no Case Keenum. Here's a simple question for Mike Evans.
What quarterback does he want?
Was Kyle LaLetta Mike Evans' plans to get the Broncos back on track? Because that's the only thing based off the evidence that I can come to a conclusion with.
Yeah. I that's the way it looks.
Love you, Mike.
Does he not like quarterbacks? Does he just not want to put his name to anybody? I don't know. I mean, goodness, Mike, come on. You gotta have somebody besides Kyle LaLetta.
Trevor?
Maybe it was. Maybe he wants Trevor back.
That cut can be deep.
Yes. That's interesting.
Yeah. You know, here's what I want to know. Here's what I want to know as it pertains to this sort of overarching, you know, topic we're having fun with. Now, Mike wasn't alone in terms of what he wanted or not wanted. There was a lot of people who wanted the Broncos to draft a quarterback at the top of the first round. There was a lot of people who wanted to go get Kirk Cousins. And there was some people who wanted just about all that. His name was Darren. But
every other day, it just changed.
The widest net I've ever seen cast.
Whatever quarterback is left, just take that quarterback.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if who it is, what the situation, what happened before you. If there's a quarterback available, you just close your eyes and pick one of the top five guys.
That was D-Mac.
Yes, that was D-Mac.
If he was fishing, the net would have been... D-Mac, what are you fishing for? Whatever comes up.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
It could be a bass or a crawfish.
Yes.
We'll eat it.
Doesn't matter.
All right.
From the South.
From the South. Whatever you pull up, you eat.
You eat it. Good old crawl day.
More legs on the bottom, the better.
That's it. But yeah, I mean, like, really? I mean, there was a lot of insane talk this offseason from a lot of different people. But I look at the way it has played out for the Broncos. And obviously, I wanted it to play out a little bit differently. But I think it has played out probably in the best interest of the Denver Broncos in 2018. And now we'll see. You know, you can always go back and look, and we'll see how Josh Allen and Josh Rosen perform and how they do. Now, if those guys, either one of them turned out to be star quarterbacks, then you know what? You made a mistake. But Big Al, you hear Big Al, he's putting his name on Josh Rosen.
Yep.
Bam, okay. Well, we'll see how it plays out. I'm not putting my name with Josh Rosen. I'm not putting my name with Josh Allen right now. I like the way it played out for the Denver Broncos. I think they made everything in this whole offseason, how it's played out, the acquisition of Case Keenum only on a two-year deal, going out and getting Bradley Chubb, putting him in this defense. I think it's been a successful offseason for John Elway and the Denver Broncos.
I agree with you. I agree. And look, when we talked about this thing heading into the offseason, after the just incredibly awful season that it was, we said the Broncos would need to hit the sweet spot of the bat in what they do this offseason. And by most accounts, They have done that. You're looking at a draft that has an A grade. You're looking at moves in free agency of Jared Valdir and Courtland McDonald and Suah Cravens that address needs of this football team, particularly the Valdir audio.
Clinton
McDonald. I said the Valdir audio. I get
Courtland.
Too much on my mind.
Courtland Sutton and Clinton McDonald. You just kind of just mix and match.
Hey.
Throw them together.
That's what type of offseason this is.
Yes,
points of one.
Success. That's right. Bam, bam, bam.
But it does feel like just what the doctor ordered for the Broncos. Across the board.
Yes. I think it's played out the best way that it could have after a 5-11 season. You're not trying to develop another quarterback. You just went through that a couple years ago. So you're not going through that process again. It's been painful with Paxton Lynch. You want to go down this road again? And 2 years of development, hopefully you got a steal in Case Keenum. Hopefully you got a diamond in the rough. And you know what? He can be here for a while. And this two-year deal turns out to be, you know, a 7-8-year deal. And you don't have to worry about the quarterback position for a while. And you're not going into the draft like just crossing your fingers.
Right.
Because that's basically what you're doing with these young quarterbacks. And that's what we did with Paxton Lynch, and it didn't work out. It's hard to dive right back in and go through that process again, especially after just going 5-11.
What does Case have to do? Because when people make up their mind about a certain thing, they have a tendency to sort of hold on to that. So you got guys who wanted the Broncos to draft a quarterback. You got guys who wanted the Broncos to go get Kirk Cousins. But we end up with Case. What does Case have to do to have the community as a whole? Guys like Mike Evans, who don't believe. Guys like D-Mac, who wanted Kirk Cousins or a young quarterback. What does Case Keenum have to do for all of us to be on the same page saying, you don't want to know what? Great job, John.
When?
Stokely stoked up. We're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Zach, you know it's the Rockies again. I can just get used to doing this. They go on the road against a very good Mariners team and take 2 out of 3. They're 8-2 in their last 10, only 3.5 out of first. And they got 3 at home against the West Division leading Diamondbacks. It's time to make hay. They're playing their best ball right now. If it's not pitching, it's the hitting. If it's not the starting pitching, you know, it's the bullpen. If it's not the batters, it's the starting pitcher. I mean, they're finding ways to win ball games. Now, this is the team that we thought we would see at the beginning of the year and consistently throughout the year. They let us down, let me down for a little bit, but now they're finding their groove, only 3.5 out with a big series coming up against the Diamondbacks right before the All-Star break. They're playing their best ball. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely Stoked Up, presented by CSU Global.
That's what I'm talking about!
Yeah, what a monster stretch here. What a monster stretch. There's no doubt about it. You're talking about winning 8 of your last 10. The only thing that, you know, and this is just me being greedy.
That's what we do.
In the two games you lost during that 10-game stretch, you had a lead in late innings in both games. Against the Dodgers, they were up 4-2. And then yesterday, up 4-3 after Story's bomb. And it was like, oh, man, could they go 9 out of 10?
Oppo.
He went ya-ya.
Yep.
He went ya-ya.
Oppo ya-ya.
Look, it's what they needed. I mean,
it's what they had to have, actually. You know, you're exactly right. And when we were talking about them a couple weeks ago, and I was ready to write them off, thank goodness I didn't.
Pretty sure that happened.
Huh? Yeah. No. I didn't completely say they were done.
Quote was, the Rockies are done, end quote.
Did I say that?
I'm pretty sure.
I wasn't in my right mind. I was not in my right mind when I said that. But look, the way they were playing, it didn't look like they were going to be playing many meaningful games after the All-Star break. And all of a sudden, they got it figured out. And, you know, now they've got themselves back into the conversation of winning the West and making the playoffs. So, look, they made the All-Star break and the games after the All-Star break mean something. They just took 2 out of 3 for the Mariners, and obviously it's a big series now, but they're playing a lot better ball consistently. You know, the starting pitching has been unbelievable. The bullpen has been the bullpen that we kind of thought. Sure. My question is, though, is this. What do you do with John Gray and Brian Shaw?
That's a good one.
Look, Brian Shaw, you can't let him pitch again. In Albuquerque. Yeah, he can pitch in Albuquerque for a while, but not at Coors Field. Not for the Rockies.
So just for the Isotopes.
Just for that Albuquerque team, yeah. He can pitch all he wants over there.
Okay.
I'm being serious.
I know
you're
you
laughing.
Are.
I'm dead serious.
That's why I'm laughing.
Right. These games matter a lot, and you can't just blow any of them because you're putting Brian Shaw in there. Now, obviously, that probably won't happen, but look, the way things have been going since those two have been out of the lineup, it's like, wow.
I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
My other question is, what do you know, John Gray's got to go to the bullpen. He can't take up one of these starting spots. He's got to go to the bullpen.
Probably so. Probably so. I think it's refreshing. It's a brand of baseball that's fun to watch, you know, despite the loss yesterday still. And you look at Saturday's game. I mean, look at Saturday's game where DJ LeMahieu, zero hits. Charlie Blackmon, zero hits, and Charlie was, that was the most I've seen Charlie struggle in a Rockies uniform. I mean, strikeout. But that being said, and Nolan was...
Yeah, how many Ks did he have, four?
Four,
yeah.
And I think he flew out on the fifth at bat. And then Nolan couldn't get anything going either. And the fact that you were able to score five runs off, you know, 10 hits... To be double-digit hits when DJ Blackmon, Arenado can't walk away with one, and Ian only had one. So you got four. You got one combined hit in one through four of your lineup. Excuse me, one combined hit with one through five of your lineup because Iannetta didn't hit the ball either. But Cargo, Valleca, Paro, and a young man named Noel. Try this here.
Try it again.
Cuevas, which I'm pretty sure sticking.
True
I hope
no,
I am.
No chance.
But he moonshot to left. It was fun. Look, it's complimentary baseball. It's fun. And you have just, another series with the D-backs here starting tomorrow. A three-game set with the Mariners. All-star break. And then come out with three games against the D-backs again.
And then two huge. Against Houston.
And then two against Houston. Right.
Look, you got a tough stretch. You know, we've talked about these last nine games, and now it's six games. You got the Diamondbacks, and you got Seattle, and then you back that up with after the All-Star break with a tough five-game stretch against the Diamondbacks on the road, and then the Houston Astros at home. So, look, it doesn't get any easier, but you got if you keep playing baseball like this, that's what those opposing teams are saying. Man, we got the Rockies. They're playing good ball right
yeah.
now.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Just keep playing like this, and they'll be just fine.
Nikola Jokic and Will Barton did a press conference this afternoon.
Oh, they did?
They did. Both signed new contracts.
Oh, good for them.
This was Nikola Jokic on his thoughts on the Nuggets' chance in the West this season.
I think we show ourselves in the last 10 games of the last season. We won like 7-8 games in a row, so we can win like... We can do hard stuff, you know, so it's not we just need to believe. We just need to believe in the group.
The way that the end of the year, believe in the group. This is Jokic on what he can do better individually.
Me individually, I think it's kind of more mentally. Don't talk with the refs anymore. Be better in defense. Just be vocal. I mean, they all asking me to do that, to be vocal. I'm going to try my best. Do daily basis and do everything what you need to do to get better, you know?
What?
Oh, I just...
No, you're looking. I don't know what to say.
Okay.
Don't know what to say.
This is Will Barton. I'm thinking it won't be that hard to make the playoffs?
The West did get better, but I feel like with our core group, it won't be that hard to make it. Like Nikola said, at the end of the year, I think we showed the team that we could be. And if we just come in training camp and preseason with that mindset we did at the end of the year and just have it from beginning to end, I feel like it won't be that hard for us.
You like that mindset?
Nope.
I don't really like it either. But, you know, at the same time, look, they're confident in their group, right? You're confident with your core group. And, look, if we come out here and play like we should make it easy. So at the same time that I don't like it, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just some confidence there. Right?
I think he's phrasing it the wrong way.
Sure.
You know, none of these guys are, you know, English savants. And I got to get this off my chest because I really didn't like the tweet from Will Barton after he signed his contract. Okay, I like Will Barton. You know that. I've nicknamed him the walking bucket, Will Barton.
You have?
I'm glad that he's, because he's a guy that can just come off the bench and go get you a bucket. A walking bucket, Will Barton.
I like that. Have you said that before on this show?
I have. Like, I just 10 yeah, times probably, right in your face.
I wasn't paying attention.
I guess so. Will Barton, after
the walking bucket,
after he signs his deal, he sends out this good tweet. God, look what you've done for me. Thank you. Can do all
nice.
Things.
That's nice. What's wrong with
I
that?
Love you. Baltimore, this is for us. Denver,
be more, baby.
Let's go back and get it. To the real ones, if you did it, we're in the trenches. And then we motivating the trap. We motivating the trap. I can do without that. The trap is a drug house. You're a pro athlete. You just signed a new deal. We motivating the trap. Like, I can totally go without that. You're a pro athlete in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, he ruined it.
Kids
there,
looked
didn't
up, he? Look up to you. You yeah. don't need to motivate the trap.
It's in a rap song.
Like, yeah, it's like trap music, a trap house, a drug house. We motivate in the trap. Well, why don't you just keep working on your game and maybe leave the drug house talk out of your tweets?
Yeah, okay.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Real quick, the Rockies All-Stars, Nolan, Charlie, Trevor, no Ottavino, no Kyle Freeland. Thoughts?
Glad to see the three that got in. Always, you're going to have a couple that you want to get in that don't get in. That's usually always the case. And if you see some guys that got snubbed, I mean, they have a lot bigger gripe than we have here with Freeland and Ottavino. I mean, the AL leader in ERA didn't get in.
The Blake Snell in Tampa.
Yeah.
It's like
second overall in the bigs in ERA. He didn't get in. So you want to talk about have a gripe about, you know, players getting in and not getting in? You look down there in Tampa. So it is what it is. You're always going to have a couple that you feel like should get in that didn't get in. But glad that Nolan was rewarded like he should have been. Glad to see Trevor Story also rewarded.
That's a great one, yeah.
And, you know, having that bounce back season.
Yeah.
After a little bit of a disappointment last year, obviously. A
lot of it.
And then Charlie Blackmon gets in.
Yep. And Charlie probably gets pushed just a little bit down the wire because of his reputation. Got a great one. All-star last year. You saw what he did as a leadoff hitter. Most home runs in professional baseball history as a leadoff batter. This year, not having the same type of year. Not having a bad year, but hitting, you know, like 55 percentage points less on his batting average. Just not the same Chuck Nasty that we saw over the course of last year. But because he's created this reputation for himself, good for him. That he might get the nod over someone else because a lot of this is a little bit reputation-based.
Sure.
And we talked about this with the, you know, NFL Top 100 voted by the players. You know, Vaughn being, I think he was number 9, being in the top 10. Did he have a top 10 season? Probably not. But he is getting, definitely not, in my opinion. You could see how that happened. You could see how this happened. So good for Chuck. And maybe one of these pitchers will, pitchers will make it eventually. ESPN Insider Stoke ranked the best newcomer in the AFC West. And what they did is they went and contacted their individual...
Did you see real quick, I wanted to, because I saw this yesterday, mm-hmm. and talking about the All-Star game, and it was a great story. Wilson Contreras from the Cubs spent like 7.5 years in the minor leagues and just got selected to the All-Star game. They kind of showed him and his emotion around that. It was such a great story that I saw it yesterday. It was like really cool. One of those cool stories, a guy that fought his way up, spent forever in the minor leagues, and, you know, he's only 26 years old, but just made it, and then next thing you know, he's an all-star. It was really cool. You could see his emotions, and his teammates were just high-fiving him and giving him hugs, and then he just, you could tell it finally hit him, and they were showing him in the batting cage warming up, and he just kind of went to the side, and he just, you know, you could see tears.
Yeah, you see that. He was crying.
Yeah, so it was really a cool story, though. If you haven't seen it, check it out. But that's what sports is all about, a guy that's just grinded and, you know, worked his tail off and finally got an opportunity, and look what he's done with it. How cool is that?
Really cool. Really cool. Shout out to him, Contreras on the Perseverance, no doubt. And real quickly on the All-Star game, pro baseball has the best All-Star game?
I don't like how you call it pro baseball. I don't know. It's something about when you say pro baseball. It's Major League Baseball or major. I don't know.
Okay.
Am I the only one here? Pro baseball.
Pro baseball?
I don't know. Pro baseball.
Does Major League Baseball best all-star game when you put it up against the Pro Bowl for football?
Pro Bowl's awful.
You put it up against the NHL all-star game and put it up against the NBA all-star game. Baseball is the best all-star game?
I don't know. I haven't followed the NHL all-star game that very much.
So that's fourth?
Yeah, that's probably fourth on my list. Baseball by far. The home run derby's awesome. What competes against the home run derby? It used to be the slam dunk contest, but that no more for me is up there. You don't have the star power anymore. Some of the dunks, you know, you just don't do it for me. I mean, some of them are great, but
some of them are great.
When you bring the car out and your mom or whatever, you jump over them, I'm just like, it's really not that cool anymore. And they're like trying to drum up stuff, so you put a mask on and do a dunk. I'm like, nah, that doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry. I like to see Vince Carter, you know, between the leg windmill, tomahawk it in there. Right, that was the ultimate.
But the
ultimate.
Thing is, you can have a guy come out and throw it between his legs just like Vince did, but he's not a star. You know, it'll be, you know, Gerald Green, you know, or someone like that, where they used to have Jordan, Kobe, Vince, T-Mac, guys
Dominique.
Like that. Yeah, Dominique, Jerry Stackhouse. They all did the dunk contest. And now the lack of stars, I think, has really killed it. While baseball, they got Giancarlo Stanton going out and put on a show. You got Aaron Judge going out and put on a show. You know, Mike Trout is out there.
It's a big deal to win the home run derby. You still have your stars out there competing in it. And so that's why the home run derby is just cool.
Yeah, I agree. I agree on both fronts. I think that
now the all-star game itself, I'm not really paying much attention to it.
You won't watch it? Did you watch it when it decided the World Series home field advantage?
It doesn't do that anymore?
No, thank God.
No, I didn't. No,
irritating thing in sports.
Why would that make me watch it? More so than, you know, now. The rules now. It doesn't. I mean, maybe I'll tune in late in the game if it's close or something like that. But other than that, like, not anymore. The All-Star games don't do much for me. Obviously, the NFL Pro Bowl is awful.
It's not even football.
No, it's awful. It's like two-hand touch. Some people tackle, some people don't.
It's really bad. They got to figure something out, actually, with that. They got to figure it out.
But they still get high ratings.
I know.
So that's why they keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then the NBA game is pretty much the same thing. Nobody's playing defense in that game.
Well, this year that changed, if you remember.
A little bit lower scoring, I guess.
There was regular season games.
How would I remember? If you don't pay attention to it, how could you remember?
There was regular season NBA games that had a higher total than the All-Star game this year. And they put the line at like 300 and something.
Always like 170 to 160.
Right. It was.
How about this idea that I just came up with?
Okay.
You do the Warriors versus the best of the rest of the NBA. You can go ahead and pick your 10 players.
That'd be hilarious.
And you play them against the Golden State Warriors.
I love it.
Who would win?
What a great, unique idea that you just thought of.
Well, thank you. Sometimes these things just come to me, Zach, pretty quickly. If you keep hanging around with me, they'll do the same for you. Okay? What do you think?
Well, Raj, I mean, Stoke, I would take the Warriors. More togetherness. More used to playing together. Shot makers.
Wow. What does the rest look like? You got LeBron?
Yeah.
Harden?
LeBron, Harden, CP3, Anthony Davis,
No, I got to take the rest.
Jokic.
Yeah, don't forget. Don't forget.
Will you be disappointed if Jokic doesn't make an all-star team this year?
No. I won't be disappointed.
Okay.
Not if he doesn't make it this year. That's not my standard. How is it voted on? Is it voted on by fans?
Correct. Well,
yeah.
Well, the starters are.
Yeah.
But he could make the team.
Okay, but no, I wouldn't be disappointed. I just want to see him play good ball, continue to play good ball, and help the Nuggets win basketball games. I don't care. I'm not saying, you know what, you got an all-star game on your resume, or you got a Pro Bowl on your resume, or you don't. It's not going to define if you're a good player or a bad player. I don't like that. And so just because you get – I mean, look at the baseball. The overall leading ERA pitcher in the American League, Snell. Doesn't get in. So you're saying that he didn't deserve to get in? No, he just got snubbed. He People just overlooked him. Didn't get enough votes for whatever reason. So, and that happens all the time. So that's why, you know, you look at Nate Solder. You look at what kind of money he got this in free agency. The guy's a really good football player.
Got paid like an all-pro.
He hadn't even been to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
So I don't even put a lot in that. I just want to see Jokic continue to get better, continue to be the centerpiece of this team, and so we can build around him for the next 10 years.
ESPN Insider went through and ranked the best newcomer in the AFC West. So they reached out to Jeff Legwald, the Denver representative. They reached out to Eric Williams for the Chargers, Adam Tischer for the Chiefs, and Paul Gutierrez for the Raiders. And three of the four representatives chose Case Keenum as the best new addition in the AFC West. The only reporter that didn't was out of Kansas City when he said he chose a non-player. He said John Gruden. Is that fair, though? Have the Broncos picked up at the most important position the best newcomer in the entire division?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at what this division has done when it comes to free agency and the draft. There hasn't been a lot of excitement when it comes to newcomers. I mean, what does the list consist of? You know, John Gruden, Jordy Nelson, Derwin James, the safety from Florida State that the Chargers picked, and mm-hmm. Case Keenum here. So that's really the list. And quarterback and a guy that actually plays and not a coach would probably be on the top of the list. So, yes, I do agree.
I thought that it was interesting. You know, each of these guys, Eric Williams, Legwald, et cetera, they give a breakdown of why they chose what they chose. And Eric Williams, the first couple sentences I thought were interesting. He says, quote, "The Broncos believed they were an experienced quarterback away from competing for another AFC West crown last season. After they signed Keenum, we'll find out if those beliefs were correct." And he goes on to talk about Keenum, but he's referencing last year in a conversation that we had about the Broncos and their window. So when you and I sat here a year ago, it was just about a year removed from the Super Bowl, okay, from Super Bowl 50. And we were coming off of a Patriots Super Bowl win, but we were looking at the Broncos roster, and we were talking about the quarterback. And the conversation that we could have fairly at the time, and I don't know if the verbiage would be fair now, but we would say the Broncos Super Bowl window is still open. And if they can get competent quarterback play, then they should be able to insert themselves into that kind of conversation. Not necessarily win it all, but be in that conversation. Do you still view this Broncos team like that, now that we do have something closer to that competent quarterback in Case Keenum?
Absolutely, absolutely. You look at this team and you look at this defense, it's still a really good defense. And John Elway has said, keep a strength of strength, and I think they've done that. You add Bradley Chubb to this mix, you add Suha Cravens. Let's see what Bradley Roby can do. I mean, this defense will be an elite defense. And now you pair that with a better, more competent, more consistent offense, and you have the makings of a playoff football team. That's what you have. I mean, that's just the facts. Now, they got to go out there and do it. Case Keenum has to be, you know, more of the Case Keenum that we saw last year than we saw 3 years ago. And we need a better offensive line play. We need a better running game. We need more explosive plays offensively. And can Bill Musgrave help that out? We'll see. I mean, these guys got to go out on the field and execute it and do it. But on paper, yes, much improved football team, and a team that you look at the changes and what they've done, they should go out there and produce at a lot higher level.
If Case Keenum turned the Broncos into a playoff team, would he instantly become the biggest star in Denver next to Von Miller?
Probably so, yeah. Probably so. Quarterback for the Denver Broncos, and you take a 5-11 team and you bring them to the playoffs? Yes. You'd be right up there, probably second. You got Von Miller one, Case Keenum would be two, and then you got Nolan, Chuck, McKinnon, Jokic. Yep, he would insert himself in that top, what do we have, six guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
I happen to agree with you.
I'm getting called out. I'm getting called out on the RamosLaw.com text line.
Four?
You know, I was kind of bashing the All-Star games or that I don't like them. And, well, the gentleman or lady did not put their name on it, but said, I wouldn't like All-Star games either if I've never been to one, Stoke.
Wow. Oh, come on now.
Wow. I kind of like that. I can respect that.
You should have been a Pro Bowler your 1,000-yard season, period.
I mean, we could have had three guys from that team go to the Pro Bowl.
It's the only time in pro football history three receivers went for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns in the same season.
That would have been
Reggie, and Marvin.
That was the only opportunity for me to even get close. But we're getting one also about the NHL skills challenge is really fun to watch. And they do have some cool things. They have, you know, they have them skating around the cones, and they got them timed.
They probably do the best job at that.
Yes, and they have the, you know, the shot thing, and you try to break the things, and really cool.
Did that
rates up there with the home run derby?
Oh yeah, as far as excitement. Second, but yes, I like that.
Yeah,
I like that.
Second for sure.
And put the 3-point competition in there as well.
Yeah, I love that. Bird with that.
Oh yeah,
and then the walk off.
He walked in the locker room that day and said famously, "Who's playing for second?"
Yes.
Gotta
love it.
Did you watch
Larry Legend?
Did you watch Very Cavallari last night with your former teammate Jay Cutler?
No, I just missed it. I turned it on and it was just ending. I just missed it.
Liar. This is a clip what it sounded like.
What's on tap for you today?
I've got a big 2:30 appointment.
Picking up boys from school.
Yeah, boys at school.
Uh-huh.
Wanna be first in line.
Always.
Beat all the other moms there.
Always.
But, like, honestly, what do you do all day?
I like to keep myself pretty free, so if something does pop up, bounce right into it.
Seriously,
what do you do all day?
That's so good.
Well, like, honestly, what do you do all day?
Pull on heaters.
Heaters
and beers for Cutler.
I like to keep my schedule open. You never know what's going to happen.
That is too
funny. You don't want to be too tied down. Good for Jay.
Enjoy
it.
Yes, no doubt. There's never an off season for talking Broncos, and that continues with the drive coming up next.